This is East Carolina defensive coordinator Blake Carroll, and you're listening to the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, not sports related tonight, as we're using our platform to talk about Martin General Hospital, Save the Hospital. And when I thought about a guest we could have, full disclosure, I want to invite my own doctor, Dr. Stephen Manning from Access Medicine. Doc, great to see you. I hate us on these terms, but thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, great to be here.
So first off, I want to give you a chance to plug Access Medicine and tell everybody what you do and your background. I know with graduating, you're a Pirate, which, you know, that fits the program. Yeah. But I know you graduated from the Brody School of Medicine.
I did. Loved it. Actually went to undergrad at ECU as well. Did my medical training there and then stayed for residency for 3 more years. So I'm a Pirate through and through. I've been in Williamson now since 2011. I worked at the hospital as an employee for 3 years, from 11 to 14, and then started my practice here in almost 10 years now. So Access Medicine is a direct primary care practice, which basically is unique in that we don't bill insurance for our services. We charge a low monthly, annual, quarterly fee, however patients want to pay it, and that gives them access to us. So basically access for visits, for phone, email, text. We're available 24/7 to them, and by doing that, we can offer longer office visits, we can offer better access to them, be available to them, and not be burdened by insurance to see a certain number of patients per day or to do anything in that way. We're really employed by the patient. So I love it. Couldn't imagine practicing primary care any other way. And like I said, we're almost at 10 years now doing this. So really excited. And I'm actually in the process of trying to hire another doctor for us. We really need another clinician here and to really continue to take new patients. So I'm thankful for all that.
It's great news there, and certainly I want to. I think you said, by the way, as far as direct primary care, that is it 80% of your health care as far as spending is with your primary care provider?
It's actually 90%.
90%, okay.
90% of your health care is really primary care, or at least it's outpatient. And that 10%, the rest of it is really hospitalization, serious illness. That's what we still encourage our patients to have some kind of coverage or insurance for those kind of things. And it's important to plan for that, but we can basically take care of 90% of your healthcare for a low monthly fee, really less than, any cell phone plan that I know of.
And no doubt about it. Mine keeps going up, but that's a whole nother show. As they say, you do a great job. I know that, believe it or not, I've been with you for 4 years, and this wasn't about, I know that you're, when it comes to, you're very humble as a person, but you have done a great job looking out for me, so I appreciate that very much. And one of the questions I had was, I'm worried about you, I'm worried about all the local doctors when it comes to, can you help us understand, we know about the hospital closing, we're going to talk about that for those just joining us. But how, there's a lot of misinformation going around. So can you help us understand? I understand there's a number of clinics that are also going to close in October. Is that true as well?
So, yes, there's a lot of details, a lot of moving variables in all this. And so, first of all, one of the things is to bridge on to our practice is I'm thankful that because we really work differently, we've not been impacted directly for the most part. Now, as a community, we're trying to plan ahead because we anticipate there are going to be more patients who are needing a doctor soon, because as you mentioned, October 2nd is the date that unless someone comes in and chooses to operate or purchases the clinics, Martin Family Medicine, the Roanoke clinics as well, then they will cease to operate. So that's a problem. You've got a lot of patients who have their primary care in those locations, especially Martin Family Medicine. And that was actually the practice that I helped start when I moved back to Williamston. So it's definitely needed, very important service, and a lot of patients are seen there. So, you know, we're trying to do what we can to help. We've already taken some new patients, you know, around that. So, and we've actually been closed for a while, but for new patients. So we're trying to be flexible and reevaluate our position and all that. But it's difficult for the staff, for the physicians and clinicians that work there, you know, having to find new employment or wait to see what happens. You know, I was hopeful initially, but October 2nd is not long. And to say that something's going to happen between now and then is probably too optimistic in a way. I hope it does. And I hope someone comes in that can operate the clinics or at least keep them running. That would be optimal, but I'm not sure that will happen. And, you know, that's a shame. And part of the difficulty in closing the hospital was not only impacting the inpatient care, but also the outpatient care in that way.
Let's talk about that. Something that I told you in our green room right before the show that I've lost a lot of sleep. I've slept a little bit better the last couple nights. I think it gets to a point where your body just completely, I know you always told me to sleep more, drink more water. So I'm going to listen to my doctor, but it's been very difficult. I even have neighbors that lost their jobs, 180 people losing their jobs. And my concern is the stress, not only for what we talked about with you guys, with the doctors and nurses and all our healthcare providers, but also I'm worried, Dr. Manning, about our emergency with when it comes to any kind of EMS, fire, rescue. They're looking at, they told me a week ago Saturday that 10 calls now, Dr. Manning, has taken 13 hours, where they used to take for granted how good they had it having a hospital so close by. Any kind of nursing home patient that has to go to the hospital, easy transport, probably 5 minutes away. Now they're having to take them all the way to Bertie or all the way to Beaufort or, you know, the medical center. So I'm worried as a healthcare worker, as someone who is with ECU Health, the strain, we're capable of handling it, but it's still a strain on our healthcare system as well.
It is. And our EMS staff are already feeling it. They were in some ways probably already strained to some degree, but now even more, having to go to Tarboro, Bertie, Washington. And that's not sustainable for long term. And I think even the commissioners need to, hopefully they realize it's going to cost some money in the long run too, to either hire more staff or be able to continue that going. And I think it's going to really become a problem. It already is. And I think from a community standpoint, you know, we'd love to reopen the hospital, have all those jobs back in place. But at a minimum, I think we need to have at least some emergency access. You've got to have, and the proposal that that several put together was for a 9-bed ER and a 6-bed observation. And that would at least provide a place where you could at least triage patients, assess the need. If it can't be addressed there, then transfer out once they're stabilized. But you need the ability to stabilize patients and address the heart attacks, strokes, the acute things that need to get in quickly, and not have to have a 20-minute or longer drive to get there. And it's gonna also tax our EMS staff on site. It's gonna take them longer to assess patients, and if they're given the ability to do more on scene, that's gonna also take longer. And if you already have not enough people for each shift or each call, and you're getting more calls to different areas, it's not a good situation whatsoever. So we've got to remedy that. And that's the EMS side is part of that puzzle.
And I've got some more questions for you, but we're going to be taking, if you're okay with it, taking questions tonight. Sure. We have on YouTube and Facebook. I appreciate all the people, a lot of people tuning in. Big fans, I know, of Dr. Manning. In fact, Monica says, just joining, I'm currently in the ED with my son. We had to call 911 today for my son. Possible seizure. We were sent to Tarboro, still here. Mm-hmm. And this is her question for you, Dr. Manning. Monica says, my question is, since surrounding hospitals are becoming overwhelmed, could a mobile unit be put in place temporarily?
That's an option. I don't know the logistics behind that, but it's possible there's some options like that. I know we have the urgent care here in town now, which is good. I'm glad that's there for a lot of patients. But it's still not an emergency room for a right. situation like her son with a seizure. You really need the capability to evaluate that patient effectively with imaging, lab work, physicians, and the right clinicians who are there that can evaluate and then stabilize, address the problem, and then have them go wherever needed. But if you're having to go longer distances, you're having to get and then wait wherever you are, that's not good. So a mobile unit, maybe it's possible. I know there's some mobile units that travel different areas and provide different services. I'm not really sure if there's a true emergency access. I know some of that sort of came up with COVID. I know the state supplies some of those kind of things. I don't know if this would be considered an emergency, although it feels like it, and maybe it will qualify in some ways. That's not actually not a bad question or a bad thought to consider that as an option. Yeah, good point.
Dr. Manning, one of my questions would be, okay, so I know when we talk about bottom line, and you're a small business owner, so we talk about bottom lines and all that kind of stuff, but is there a way, and I do agree with you 1,000%, that we need to at least start with having ED. Is it possible that, in other words, we get the ED back open, like you're talking about, 9-bed ED, 6-bed observation. Is it a way that we could do this incrementally? In other words, we've got to get the ED back open, and then we could look at taking like baby steps, if you will, to get the hospital fully functional again, or is it just going to be where our best bet is just for the ED only?
Well, I think you got to start there and start small.
Right.
But I think to some degree, and as a business owner, you know, and part of this relates to the model that we use, it's simple, and keeping things as simple as possible is really important. And when you talk about a hospital operating, there's so many different pieces of the puzzle, even expenses that you have to factor in. But a lot of times the cost, all of those specific pieces are maybe not always as transparent or as cost effective as they could be. And so if you're really trying to run a hospital, I think in a way we could really restart this with the right focus of, okay, looking at cost benefit analysis and really reducing the cost to really, or even charges to what costs really are, getting that more accurate. You're not overcharging for small things. And you're keeping the overhead lower so that you don't have those huge expenses. Now, I know a hospital is very different. You have a lot of people, a lot of equipment, a lot of things that have to be paid for. And so that's part of it. But I think when you start small and you can really bring in the essentials, maybe, you know, not overextend by adding everything back in, and then you can build that properly and then add on, you know, sequentially. So I think that's important, into making it a sustaining process. But, you know, the proposal we put forth to the commissioners was to establish the hospital as a rural emergency access hospital. That's a state designation that would, to my knowledge, would allow funding, some funds from federal and state entities that would help that process.
Good.
That's part of it to offset the expenses. And even I don't know how, you know, as far as the debt the hospital has and how that factors in all this, but that's another factor. But at least to have some income, and then be able to then operate, get reimbursement from insurances, which is also income, and then pay off those expenses, or be able to take care of running the hospital, to pay staff and all the equipment. So there's lots of possibilities, but I think the key is, in my mind, there are two keys. The first one is local run, that you've got people who are from here, who are in the community, who are able to run and operate the hospital, who have a vested interest in the community. It's not someone from Timbuktu who has
Right.
no idea how the community works. That what that does is it puts the onus on those people, because it's their hospital, it's our hospital as a community. And two, it also reinforces the community itself to then hopefully trust those and people. Those, but the hospital again, that, you know, there's it's no su no surprise that, you know, a lot of patients didn't want to go to Martin General, and they preferred to go somewhere else. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think in order to rebuild that trust to make Martin General your first choice again, you've got to have, you know, people you know that are held accountable, transparent, and they're running things. So locally operated is, I think, is important. And then, you know, that piece of starting slow and kind of working your way up to whatever we can provide. Having an inpatient service where patients can be admitted to hospitals, I think, is really important in our community. But I don't know that we can start there first. We got to at least have that emergency access and go from there.
Right, that you read my mind. I guess great minds think alike. I was that local control part. It's always worried me that a company from a different state, you know, and I'm not going to get into all that. But when you said local control, somebody like a Dr. Stephen Manning, you make a great point. You and your wife Candy and your children, y'all could have been anywhere, but you chose to come back here. To Martin County, to Williamston, to open up a practice, which says a lot. And that's kind of like the vision of what Brody School of Medicine is all about. So the local control, is that something that like yourself and other doctors could be like a board, maybe a hospital board that you guys could do that?
That's the idea, is to have a board of people that are involved, and, you know, whoever the CEO is, the hospital, you know, physicians involved, several community members, people who have a vested interest, and they would be that group that would be the go-to. And I think so far the commissioners have been have heard that proposal. A lot of that depends on the state budget, and that passing the state budget that would then allow that designation to occur under the Rural Health Office of Rural Health in North Carolina. And then I don't know as far as that affects the funding and all those things. So lots of different pieces that have to happen first, and who knows how long that may take. That's another problem. But you know, I think it will be tempting for the commissioners to look at other people who have come up now and have said, well, we can now take it over and maybe offer some things, and utilize those same funds that we're trying to get access to from the state or federal level and operate it. You know, I think it's tempting to maybe go with that, or someone who's a company or another operating entity. I don't know if that'll be the best option or not. I think the community has to be clear about what it wants. I think each, you know, the community as a whole needs to communicate to the commissioners, this is what we want with our hospital. We want it. If you want it locally run, then that needs to be clear. If we want whatever to happen, that needs to be crystal clear to them. And I hope they will listen, because that's what they're elected for.
Absolutely. When you're talking about local control, I am curious about that because you make that great point. When you talk about transparency, when you talk about accountability, that's what leaders do, and we really need that right now. And I do believe that we need to pass the state budget, because you're talking about that. That I know that last week when you were on Talk of the Town with Henry was asking you about, Henry Hinton, that is, out of Greenville, was asking you about Medicaid expansion. I know that's not the end-all be-all, so let me say that for everybody that doesn't believe in Medicaid expansion, but you cannot argue that it would not help some. At least in our case, it would help us, even if a little bit of help is better than nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and Medicaid expansion has been talked about for a while, and part of the desire to pass that is because of rural hospitals, and that it would provide some additional funding for those rural hospitals like Martin General and the fate we've come through now. And the reality is there are lots of hospitals across the nation that are in the same boat. We're dealing the same issues. And we realize that, you know, just getting federal funding or getting additional monies to open the hospital back doesn't fix the problems. We've got to have, as you begin that process and start running it again, you've got to be able to fix those issues that created the problem in the first place. So Medicaid expansion, although will help, it won't fix the issue. Right. You've got to have some ongoing analysis to really see, okay, what areas need to be addressed, and how can they be addressed to maintain the hospital running for a long time, not just for for a few months. You've got to really establish that. And I think part of that is really starting small, not overextending ourselves, right. Having the right staff for that small ER, whatever it is, and then building from there.
I do believe we're going to have the hospital. People are my frustration and my not being as positive is because of how long I feel like it's going to take. And I have no, and I'm not an expert. That's why I lean on you, one of the experts in the healthcare field. And my frustration is one of the questions I had, and you may not know, but I'm going to ask it so that hopefully we can find out, is the deal with the bankruptcy. So my question, like now with all the way down to just a basic where the former employees can't even get their things out of their offices, or they have to leave things or different things, leave it the way it is. I'm just really frustrated with that right now, because that seems to be like a lot of red tape, and it's preventing our people basically from having basic healthcare or access to healthcare.
Yes. Yes. And so, and I don't know if folks really know this, but so Community Health Systems was the parent organization that purchased the hospital back in 98.
Right.
So that was a multi-million-dollar deal paid to the county to operate the hospital. The building itself is still owned by the county,
right.
But they had the right to run the hospital for, I think it ran out in 29. So it was 30-year contract, basically. So a few years ago, CHS subsidized into Quorum. One of the companies was Quorum, to operate several small hospitals that they have. And Quorum became the operator for Martin General. And so, you know, over the past probably 1 to 2 years, I've served for many years as the vice chief of staff. And we were aware that the hospital had ups and downs, had difficulty at times, like a lot of rural hospitals. And, you know, over the past probably 6 months to a year, Quorum has had voiced interest in wanting to sell the hospital and get out of the contract early. And, you know, we recognized that was a problem, and the revenue overall had been declining over time. You know, some of that we could sort of look back maybe to stopping the OB services in the hospital was, you know, just part of that writing on the wall that we saw that happening too, and, right. And realized that the number of patients coming to the hospital, the number of services offered was decreasing, just not a good trend. And so it didn't happen overnight. As a whole, we knew there were problems, tried to fix some of those things. And of course, Quorum discussed with the commissioners multiple times and wanted to sell the hospital. Groups like Affinity, others voiced interest in possibly purchasing the hospital for operation, but none of that ever came to fruition, and really wasn't any really good good deals that would be in favor of the county. And so it, I think in my mind, what it appears is that quorum got to the point where they just decided they couldn't do it anymore. And rather than finish out the 5.5 years of the contract, they just decided the only way to get out of this is declare bankruptcy. And so they did. And so that happened. Hospital ceases to operate. Now, that's not good for anybody. Not good for the county. Not good for the citizens. Not good for the employees. And we're talking about the repercussions of that. But the bankruptcy side also throws major obstacles in this because the trustee holds the complete power over the building itself.
Right.
So, as you said, employees can't get their personal items. People that have been servicing the hospital for physical therapy, for other things like that, can't get their equipment out until the trustee decides that they can. And that could take who knows how long. We've heard that it could take 6 to 12 months for that process to go through,
Wow.
for the bankruptcy to be finalized and done. So I don't know if that will take that long. I really hope not. But so really major problems with how this all happened. And as we've said, there's no reason to point blame. It's not going to really help move forward. I think we need to learn from it and recognize that again when you don't it's phenomenon of having this entity Quorum Healthcare that only a few of us really even know any of the leadership in. You don't know them. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they're about. And you know, again, back to community focus is crucial in all this. So it's just been a problem and all that, and didn't happen overnight. But and it's not going to be fixed overnight. But we've got to make some the right steps going forward to make sure this is a community hospital.
I like that because, like we talked about, one of the things back in '98 when there was a chance for, at the time, Pitt Memorial to buy it outright, back at that time, I was saying that was a local, basically a local regional company versus someone in Tennessee. When you talk about local control, I think one of the things that's missing for a lot of people right now is that one word, the T word, trust. And there's a lot of lack of trust right now in our leaders. And again, we're not, our purpose of the show tonight was just to try to gather information, to try to, how can we, I'm at the point now, I'm not pointing fingers. What I want to know is, like, I don't care who it is, politically, it's Democrats, Republicans, independents, I don't care. I just want my hospital open back and our hospital open back. And whoever it is that can open that hospital, is there any, I know you're not a lawyer, but is there any legal pressure or anything that we can put on Quorum Health or anybody when it comes to the bankruptcy? Because to me, we had a situation, and I don't want to name the person, and I'm not, but we're having people die on the way to the hospital. I'll just put it like that generically. And that really bothers me. And especially when I can walk to the hospital right now, I live 3 blocks. My daughter fell out of the back door several about 6 years ago. And we took her there and they cleaned her up. She had febrile seizures back in 2017. But thankfully, she's not epileptic. It was just because the fever obviously spiked. But having a hospital that close by, Dr. Manning, is paramount. And none of the other things we're talking about in our community right now that are very important to me matter until we get that hospital back open. And so that's why I wanted to have you on tonight is that. Like the pointing, I just want to tell our community, there's nobody that's more mad than I am. I'm really mad. I'm outraged. There's a lot of emotions that are going through me, and I may have to talk to you about some other prescriptions, but that's a personal and a separate thing. But I just wonder, like, we have a term that we use in management at our hospital, constant general pressure. Is there a constant general pressure that we can put on our leadership? To say, hey, we want the hospital back open now. Like, what can we do that we're not talking about, obviously, illegal activity. I'm not saying that, but how do we get that hospital open when, the bankruptcy? I'm like, man, it just seems like that pushes things further and further down the road.
Right. It does. And so I know that last night the commissioners meeting, which was closed, they did decide to hire a consultant that would help establish evaluation of some of the groups that have mentioned or trying to, like the group that I mentioned earlier, wanting to operate the hospital or the options we have. So they've agreed to that. And then I think that person would also work with the legal entities, both with Quorum, the bankruptcy, and the county, to establish what can we do and can it be done faster. So that's my understanding. That's trying to happen. I'll also tell you that many of the employees of the hospital sent letters to local, well, our district elected officials, Don Davis, and the governor, and anyone that would listen, basically, and send letters, phone calls, emails, letting them know what's going on, letting them know that we want their help to address some of these problems. And I think that will help. The governor, of course, came, as everyone probably knows, and hopefully that will also help push along the state budget approval and all those things. But otherwise, legally, I'm not sure if there's anything else we can do. It's sort of one of those things that seems it has to have to run its course. But as you said, I mean, one of the reasons we need to push it is because this is not just, a property that may be
Right.
Is sitting somewhere unoccupied and doesn't impact anyone. This is a property that was for saving lives. And even though maybe everyone didn't love it at every moment, it was still a necessary entity in the county. And I think that hopefully that's one of the silver linings in all this, is that we realize how important it was to have a local hospital here. Even if it wasn't your first choice for healthcare, it's still important to have a hospital that you can go to and that people who live even in walking distance can't get to because they're
Right.
not able to physically. They have a condition that they can't even get that far. So they have to have the ability to get where they need to get when they have a medical emergency. So I hope that becomes clear to all of us and how important it is to have that in our backyard. And I understand. And I'm very transparent. I'll tell you what. I'm no expert necessarily on a lot of things, but I do know how healthcare works, and I do know how to take care of patients and what's needed. And I understand when patients tell me that, I would go to Martin General, and before I got home from a hospital visit, I had a bill waiting for me. And so I understand that puts a sour taste in your mouth. And you really don't want to go back there when you're getting that kind of harassment, so to speak. I can't blame them to a degree. But I think there are ways you can do things, as you said, that build trust. And when you don't know the people and you're getting a bill for a hospitalization that maybe you had a good time, maybe the staff were great, maybe everything about it was a great experience. And then you got that bill and you thought, well, couldn't they have waited a couple of days before I got home and got settled? It just irks people the wrong way. And again, when you know the people, the operating process, and we on the other side can put things in place that really focus on building that trust, and again, make whatever we can offer the first choice, not the third or beyond.
And wouldn't you say that one of the things that we could do, that I have a obviously a broadcasting background, and I know that things cost money and all that, but wouldn't a marketing, some kind of marketing campaign, for example, when the doors open back up, to instead of driving by your community hospital being Martin General, to give us a chance, to earn your trust or something, and then, if and I will say this to our friends that are, saying, Dave about, Martin General, every time that my, children, my with my daughter especially has gone. They treated us great. We got excellent care from the ED. My concern is with the whole thing of, I guess it's public perception is the word, that hopefully that's the right word to use. The perception is like you see a small hospital that means less than, when the reality is we've got to have the hospital. Another thing, Dr. Manning, that I wanted to bring up is that our town doesn't talk enough about is we were rated number 6 in the state for retirees. Mm-hmm. And my concern is, okay, that's great that we got that for a destination for retirees, that voting, which was awesome. We need to promote that more. But also, would retirees come to Williamston if we don't have a hospital and access to healthcare?
Exactly. Those are downstream effects of this. Would new families move in the community? Would not, with no hospital? We have to look at all of the things that's going to impact and make a solution that's going to help remedy those things to make Martin General a place people want to come to. If there's no hospital and there's no major employer, it was the second largest employer in the county.
Right.
How are we going to bring in new people that want to be here? So that's a big problem. And we have to put that as a piece of the puzzle. So it's, as you said, a lot of moving parts, and it is perception. A lot of it is, but the reality is most of the time, the ER staff, the docs, the nurses, everyone involved, and I know, not all of the staff of the hospital, but a lot of them, they're all great folks. I mean, they are great clinicians. They are great at their jobs, and they provide a great care. In fact, if you look at our inpatient data and how well we care for patients and readmissions, all the parameters we look at every month to evaluate our hospital, we were always above average, above the state average, and even in many places better than our other local competitors around the area. So, patients, but again, trying to get that word out to the community is harder. And again, sometimes you have to get through some brick walls to really penetrate that knowledge to say, well, the care actually is better in a lot of places. And I've observed there's a phenomenon that occurs everywhere. When you live in a town and you have a hospital there, as we say, negative news travels really fast.
Oh yeah.
and so if anything negative happens, you're going to hear about it. And what often happens is that you hear about all the bad things that happen in that local hospital. And the assumption is that, well, the hospital over there, in our case, Vidant or ECU, is better, must be better. And in reality, the same things exist at that hospital. You just haven't heard about them and you don't live there. So they're not in the community that we're in. And then the assumption of those who live in the bigger hospital like ECU is that UNC or Duke is better because they don't hear about those things there. And so there's this propagation of, well, the local hospital can't be as good because X, Y, and Z. When in reality, if the same services are offered, then in fact, it actually may be better because sometimes there's not as much in the way of providing that care in a smaller hospital than it is in a bigger multi-specialty, major medical hospital. So, again, changing perspective. And I think, as you said, a marketing campaign or a way to get that voice out is crucial. But again, I think the first step you take is, people you know. People that you're familiar with, or they're from the ground up, on the leadership side, not just the clinical side. In Martin General, you'd often go and you would often know the nursing staff or the physicians who worked there, and that was a great thing. But I think the missing piece was the leadership, and not leadership necessarily at the hospital itself, but I mean the operating leadership from quorum side, from the the business aspect.
Right.
You know, and I will say, I'll just give a shout out to John Jacobson. He's, you know, he's moved here. He got sort of thrusted into the CEO role as CFO, and has done a great job. And John is a community member. He has been very helpful, and he's invested in this community. And so he was sort of the go-to between Quorum and us and trying to figure all this out. And I'm just thankful for him being a part of this and for all the guys that are Shavla, that are Harsh, all the ER docs, all the nursing staff that have been really crucial even now at trying to get things back operating and propose an option to the commissioners to pursue this rural health, rural access hospital designation.
You were talking about Dr. Chawla. I've heard so many people behind the scenes. I would just say that employees, non-employees, that really brag about him. And one of the words I hear a lot about Dr. Chawla is passionate. He's passionate about opening the hospital. And so people like yourself, others, like you're talking about Jacobs, like the people, we got a lot of great local people. And I'm glad I did the show tonight with you, that we're doing it, because the local control, you've opened my eyes about that, as far as being able to run the hospital, that we have enough people that could have the, I guess the word we hear in politics all the time, the checks and balances. And maybe that was part of missing. Another great point you made earlier that I wanted to touch on too is the fact that we need to learn from our mistakes. And, you know, we made our mistakes, but we need to learn from our mistakes moving forward, so that we don't have, let's say hypothetically, we open up the hospital and we go full throttle, and all of a sudden it's shut down in a few months because we're back to, my understanding, I don't know, probably know the numbers better than I do, but I heard that Quorum was losing $1 million a month. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, we've got to find a way that we don't lose, that we, meaning Martin County and our citizens, that we don't lose $1 million a month.
Right. And I think gauging from the commissioners, I think that's probably part of the concern is that it's too big of an entity to take on and no
Right.
one knows how to run a hospital locally. And that's not totally true. One of the things that's beneficial with rural health, rural access, rural emergency access hospital designation is that reimbursement actually goes up. So for
Right.
that designation, reimbursement from Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance actually becomes much more in line with cost. And so that also helps offset some of the expenditures you're going to face. But again, I think part of this is getting back to maybe even re-examining how we actually establish hospitals. There's nothing. Part of the problem is that overhead is so high,
Right.
because of all the things you have to do. Again, you know, I have the same thing in my office. I have overhead, and you know, the number one overhead of any business is always staff, and it's no different in the clinical office. So you have to balance all that with, I've got to make sure that I can pay for my staff, I can get all the equipment we need. And I can run the office. And so there's no difference in a hospital setting. And we've got to find a way to, just like a small business, ratchet that overhead down and be able to run a hospital like a regular business transparently and figure out what services we can offer and what we can do well to be able to then also bring in that revenue, and run the hospital and keep it running. And so I think the problem there, if you bite off more than you can chew, that's a problem. Hiring too many staff could be a problem initially. So you've got to really be very specific about what we do. And then, as you said, build that over time, and what we can offer. So and you know, I think if we don't think outside the box in this, then we're going to be back to the
Right.
same place. And rural hospitals can't be run the same way we've always run them. We've seen that, and we're seeing that here locally and across the nation. they can't continue to exist the same way they always have. And we don't necessarily need to compete with ECU or other hospitals. Maybe we can offer some specific things that they don't, or some unique ways of approaching how we do things. Now, I'll say, and I'm not sure who we discussed this with, but you know, I've been asked about whether this is going to become like Belhaven and have a multi-specialty clinic option like that. And you know, the answer is we don't really know. But you know, I would be curious to ask those who went through this there, and now having that clinic there, how they feel about it. Is it a benefit to the community? I think it probably is. And what they're doing yep. is good, and it's been beneficial in the long run. Hard to see maybe then, but at the same time, and they're offering what they need to. But and we've got to think about the same thing. What does the county need? What are the services we need to offer? And let's do that. Let's find a way to do that and start off doing the first necessity and then build from that. I think that's going to be crucial. And it doesn't really, I don't think it matters as much how it looks or what the entity is called or what exactly it formulates to be, but how can we do that and do it successfully is really the important question.
You make a great point about, we talked about earlier about it's basically like baby steps. So me personally, obviously I want the fully functional hospital, but I know that like we talked about, we don't want to make the same mistakes with overhead and everything. So we start out with the ED, and then the right, you were talking about the handwriting on the wall, the two I've always heard, and maybe I'm wrong because I'm in non-clinical and I'm not in finance, so I can't speak to that, but I've always been told that the birthing center and your, whenever you have your ICUs are the two of the most profitable. If you're talking about a business part of the hospital, those are the two most profitable parts. So I hope that what we can do is open up the hospital as an ED, like you said, a 9-bed ED, and then the 6-bed observation. And then we can say expand. And truthfully, folks, the only way that this hospital is going to work is if we, meaning myself and others, support the hospital in whatever ways. And I'm just wondering with the whole birthing thing, I know that we have less people that are, you know, obviously live here, which means there's less births. But at the same time, we do have a lot of people that, you know, that are getting their, the babies are being born outside of the county. Is yeah. that something once we expand, is that something that we could say, hey, you know, don't you want like a pride thing? Don't you want your baby born in Martin County?
Yeah, that's been happening that's tough, for a while. It is. And, you know, that service ended the hospital, and then we did have a gynecology office here in town for a little bit, and now that's gone.
Right.
And so some of those services, which were OB and gyn, those services are no longer there. So, and I don't know if, I think the volume was, they were seeing a good number of patients, but at the hospital side, it was a drastic difference. You know, usually we would see somewhere around 30 to 40 deliveries a month. And it was down to very few, wow. Usually around 300, I want to say, if I remember right, deliveries a year. And it was down. So over time, it really drastically decreased. And we're seeing that people would not come into county for their prenatal care and for their deliveries. They would go outside the county, either to Washington or to Greenville mostly. So we've, again, rethinking that process, but at the same time, not harping on that too much to say, well, is that the best use of our focus to change the mindset on that? It's going to be hard to change that mindset. I think there's certain things that can be offered maybe there that we weren't offering here at the time. And so people would just want to go there. But I think, again, at some point, if that's needed and we say, okay, we're seeing people want to stay here for not only their emergency care, but their inpatient and now their OB care, then we reevaluate that and offer that again. But I can tell you, it's still hard for those patients who are on bed rest and they need to get to a physician quickly. If they have something happen with the pregnancy, now they've got to travel to Washington or Greenville to get that. So that's a problem. And for the past, you know, a year and a half or so, our emergency room has been tackling those issues and then getting the patients out. But and that's still needed, of course, but we'll have to see what the future holds with that as well.
One of the questions I had is a long-term question, but is because right now all I care about, like I said, is to open up the ED part to get something. We've got to have that open, that access open, number one. Obviously, we need to have the helipad. We don't have access. I'm really upset about that. We're not in a third world country. It's just amazing. But anyway, my question is, I've been told, I don't know this, so forgive me for those employees that are listening tonight, that the building is not in great shape, and that the certain places need to be, there are things that need to be repaired. And so going back to what you're talking about, the reason I bring that up is the very fact that if we had local control, we can take that money that we make, and I'm not trying to make a negative out of what I'm talking about. You understand where I'm going.
Sure.
But if we have, you're making my mind like one, you know, like really think really hard about the local control. We can take that money that we make, instead of it being profits over people, we can make that money and reinvest that money back into the hospital where we can fix the things that, you know, just like you made a great point earlier that we all know, this problem didn't happen overnight. So my thing is, why not take that money and put it back in the hospital? And later on, you know, we have 23 acres. Is it possible to, this isn't a short-term thing, but a long-term thing, can we build a more modern facility that would focus on where we'd have with the technology and everything? I don't know. I know that that's not something that's going to happen. We'll get the ED access before we get a new building, but I think that's something I'm very, you and I are like visionaries. I'm one that the short term is to open up the ED, but we also have to be thinking, like you talked about, to be financially responsible where this doesn't happen again. And also we need to be forward thinking on what can we do for our citizens down the line that we can save this money and eventually we can build a new facility. And I feel like we could do it on the same property, but that's something, again, that's my long-term, not my short-term. So I want to make that very clear. Don't, for people watching the show tonight, don't think I'm saying I want to build a building in the right now.
Right. No, that's, and that's a good point though, that, and that's, it goes back to what Quorum has been doing for a while. I don't know if people know, but we haven't had mammogram capability, bone density capability, for at least probably a year. That's an estimate, because they haven't fixed the machine. So every patient needed a mammogram that wanted to stay here in the county, we had to send out for those services. Oh, and those are reimbursable services. So those things weren't the investment wasn't made to fix it because it was going to cost money. And I understand you're already losing money. So why are you going to fix something that needs to be fixed? But again, you're also getting revenue from that service. So, you know, and one of the crucial pieces of all this, in the proposal for this local entity would be nonprofit as a right. Nonprofit group. And as you said, basically money that's gained by the hospital goes back into the hospital to then take care of those kind of things, upfit whatever needs to be upfitted, or expand. And as you said, at some point in the future, the best option may be to start over with a new facility that maybe tailors specifically to what we need.
Right.
And does it look exactly like the same service we had? Maybe not. You know, I hate to see an empty building sit there. We already have enough of those in the county. We don't need one more, but if it's better to have an up-to-date facility that specifically has what we need, then that's good. It may be the best thing for us, but, you know, again, time will tell. I think that's, as
Right.
you said, a future question. And right now, the key thing is really getting back to what we really need, which is at least offering emergency access, reduce the strain on the emergency EMS staff, give patients a place they can go for emergency access, then to get wherever they need to get to from there, and reduce any downstream medical consequences that could happen from not having emergency access. You know, even in our clinics, we have nowhere to send someone if they come in the office and they have an acute need and we can't deal with it here. And we've got to basically call EMS and say, well, you're going to have to go to Washington, Tarbert, Bertie, wherever we can take you. And those places are already also getting overrun with patients. So the person who asked the question earlier, they may be sitting there because they're already getting, lots of calls. Last Wednesday, I was sitting beside one of the EMS workers, and he showed me the calls they had just gotten in the last few hours and how they were all going different places and how taxing that was, to our staff.
No doubt. We've got a few comments really quick before we let you go. I appreciate you staying the whole hour, very, very much. And knowledge is truth says, hey, y'all, thanks for doing the show. Monica says about, this is about, I think she's talking about the hospital. Unfortunately, it's impossible to make everyone happy all the time, and complaints are bound to happen within the medical field. Good communication, having the right team and management team in place, and that we can agree on, definitely
Absolutely.
on that. She says, yes, and attend all the board meetings. I agree with that. Well, I think
Yes.
one of the good things that's come of this is I use the term, and I'm using this about myself, fat, dumb, and happy. I'm a single dad trying to raise my kids, three sports each. We're just kind of like in a rat race. And we, you know, there was a song by Cinderella years ago. I can't believe I'm using the song, but don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think we're feeling, I've heard so many people that employees and people that are citizens, you want to talk about how much this affected the community. I'm amazed across the board how many people have talked about the hospital closing. And here's another one. Knowledge is truth is saying after they close the session, they must reopen to vote. So don't leave when they close sessions.
Yeah.
And then and one more thing, she says exactly getting picked up in the House field. I think for us, like we talked about, there a lot of good things could come of this. I've met a lot of great people some already knew that I haven't had a couple neighbors that lose their job, unfortunately. And then I've met a lot of great people. I hate that I met them under these circumstances,
Yeah.
but a lot of great people that are. We talked about Dr. Chawla, but there's a lot of nurses, and I know you talked about doctors that they're just chomping at the bit. They want to get back to
Yeah.
they're what they do for a living. It's not a job, Dr. Manning, it's a career.
Right. Well, and it was their home. I mean,
Right.
many have said this is our second home. We've been here. I know one person had been there since age 19. I mean, and worked there. So it's like you're just taking their home out from under them, and that's it's not good. And I guess I am thankful that the job market is good, and there are many employers who are coming out and having job fairs and different things, and that's great. But I think all those folks would rather go back to Martin General for their work. So I hope we can offer something. But again, the problem too is the longer this lasts, the
They
more
gotta.
likely those folks are not going to be available. They're going to find new jobs, and they have to. So that's understandable. But if we delay this, and the commissioners need to see that, we need to work on this. This needs to be priority A for them,
Thank you.
and I hope it will be. And again, the community needs to come together. And if there's any a time to tell your commissioner what you want as a citizen who elected them to do a job that you pay them to be there for, this is the time. This is the time, and hold them accountable to it. And as the person said, attend the meetings. So they had several closed sessions, but and I hope they will open those back up, have more community open comments time, and folks can just come in and voice their opinions, and that's important. But call them, email them, find them on the street, talk to them, let them know what you're feeling. That'd be one of my biggest messages.
Before we let you go, obviously, we know you're with Access Medicine. Tell everybody about, again, about your practice for people that are just joining us. And also, I've been told that you guys, I've known for a good while now, you guys have a waiting list. But talk about, I know that you're taking some of those patients, or maybe are you taking all of them? I know you're taking some of the patients on the waiting list. So I want to give you an opportunity to mention that before we go.
Sure. Yeah, we have had a waiting list. We've not been open to new patients for a little bit because we've been full. And really, that's intentional because the model that we offer, when we offer basically access to us and to me 24/7, we have to have a slightly smaller panel size. So those patients get the best care possible, right, the best quality care, the most transparent pricing, all those things in place. And so if we add too many patients to that, we really diminish what we can offer to everyone. So the remedy for that is to hire another physician. So we're in the process of really trying to find the right person. I'm really picky when it comes to that. I want someone who's going to be the right fit for us and the right fit for the community, not someone who's just going to be here for a little bit and leave, but also has the right mindset about caring for patients and really treating every person like their family. So that's what we're looking for. But again, as I said, we are opening to some patients. We have a wait list of patients that have been on our wait list for probably a year and a half or maybe even more. So if we have someone, a new hire physician, we'll open that wide open and be able to open up for other patients too that maybe not be able to see their clinician from Martin Family or other practices. So we're trying to help that process.
Well, Dr. Manning, thank you so much. This hour has flown by very fast. Thank you for staying the whole time. I didn't expect it, but I appreciate your commitment to the community. I appreciate you being a great doctor, a great friend. We'll let you get to Candy and the kids right now. We appreciate it and love to have you back on again. Hopefully we won't have to have these shows for a long time. I hope that in the matter of months, I would like to say weeks, but I feel like it's going to be months before we get the hospital open. So thank you tonight for coming on. Appreciate you being a great friend and appreciate you being my doctor.
Yes, sir. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right. Appreciate Dr. Stephen Manning doing a great job there at Access Medicine. If you get a chance, make sure that you contact Access Medicine. They do a fantastic job, and appreciate Dr. Manning on tonight. We'll get out of here and we'll be back. Obviously, you can like, by the way, before I forget, you can like our Facebook page. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have sports stuff about East Carolina and, of course, all our stuff about the hospital right now. Appreciate it, guys. Hope you have a great night. We'll see you later. Good night.
Why not copy that? Everybody gonna see us go bananas, speed lab, baby, don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get involved, get the wave going.